You are the Word in the beginning, the one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ.
What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. Beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you sin was great, your love was greater. So what can separate us now?
What a wonderful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. Name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you, ladies. It's good to see young ladies. And let's see, how should I word this? And others, ladies, using their talent for the Lord. You have your Bible open to Proverbs 18, and I want to talk with you about a very important subject tonight. Of course, anything that I speak to you about from the Bible is important. The whole Bible is important.
Amen.
Amen. Contrary to what some believe, they have their few little scriptures, you know, that they latch on to, and that's all they ever want to talk about.
Yeah.
But the Bible says we're to preach the whole counsel.
Amen.
Everything in this book's important.
Amen.
If it's in this book, it's important.
Amen.
And so we want to just look at a thought about friendships. And it's important. Now, friendships are not the most important things in life. All right? I want to start out by saying that. But it is important. It's important. And I want to talk to you about the importance of friendship, on choosing friends, being a friend. How are you to be a good friend? How are you to choose your friends? And we'll talk about that from the Bible. I told you some time ago, and I hope you wrote it down, that there's three important decisions. I think that the three most important decisions that you will make in your life. And so if you were not here when I told you this back in 2012, then I want you to write this down. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is the God you choose. The God you choose to worship. All right? And there's a lot of false gods out there. Now listen to me. A lot of false gods. And I want you to know something. There's some people, see, the world has a Jesus. Religion has a Jesus. But their Jesus is not the Bible Jesus. I want you to understand that. Okay? He's not the eternal, only begotten Son of God. They throw that name around. That's like a historical Jesus. But the God that you worship, the God that you choose to worship, is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. All right? Now, I want to attach something to that. This is an addendum. Along with that, the Bible, we're in an English-speaking country. The Bible that you choose to learn about that God from and to have that God to communicate to you from is very important. Very important. You see, there's one Bible for the English-speaking people. You understand that. It's the King James Bible. All right, so, well, I've got a... And you can just fill in the blank right there. You've got the wrong one. You need you a King James Bible. And I'm not being mean to you. Listen, if you don't have one, I'll buy you one so you can have a Bible. And I'm not saying that smart aleck. I'm not being mean to you. There's just so many... Listen, there's so much confusion. These other versions, they're watered down. ESV, ASV, NIV, HIV, whatever. Listen, they're all watered down. Watered down. What you need to get you is a Bible for the English-speaking people. And that's the King James Bible. That's the Bible that God has given to the English-speaking people. It comes from the Textus Receptus, the Masoretic text. And you say, well, I've studied a little bit about that. Good. Keep studying. Don't quit studying. Don't take my word for it only. Study so you can know that God has inspired and preserved His Word. Now, to this generation and every generation, God has preserved His Word. And the worship of God is so important. And how the Word of God that you use is so important, brethren. So important. These Bibles, these translations, I don't even like to call them Bibles. These faulty translations, they cut out Scripture. They cut the blood of Jesus. They cut the deity of Christ out. And so it's not something I'm going to step up here and preach to you every Sunday. I hope that you have enough of wherewithal to search it out and to know that the King James is the Bible that God has given to the English-speaking people. You need to understand that. All right? So number one, the God that you choose to worship. And by the way, it's a choice. It's a choice. You have to make that choice. The God that you choose to worship is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Now, young folks, listen to me. You say, well, I right now, the most important thing to me is getting, and it could be some material thing. You might want you a little girlfriend. You know, I just got to get little Cindy Lou. That's so important. That's not the most important thing in your life. The most important thing in your life is the God you worship. The God that you worship. And you choose now. You choose if you're going to worship God. You choose that. Number two, the second most important thing in life is the person that you choose to marry. See, life, when you marry, it's for life. Say, well, now, you know, people's getting married and getting a divorce, drop of a hat. It's not biblical. Now, if you're here and you've been married and divorced, not throwing stones at you. All right? What is done is done. But I refuse to be quiet about it and be solid about it when we have young people in this church that are going to grow up and be married one day. I want them to know that the Bible says when you marry till death do you part. Now, if you didn't do that, I'm sorry for you. And I mean that when I say that. And that doesn't make you a second-class person or a second-class Christian. I want you to understand that. But we're not going to change our message because you and a group of other people have things go south. So the person that you choose to marry is the second most important decision that you will ever make in your life. And so you choose wisely. You choose wisely. It's very important. All right? It's very important. Who you marry is very important. Because the person that you marry, you will be spending your life with. You'll be worshiping that first decision that you made, the God that you choose to worship with. It's so important. I cannot stress how important it is for parents to teach their children to wait on God in this area of their life, to prayerfully consider what God's will in this area of your life is. It is so, so important. Now, parents, we're living our lives before our children. They're watching us. They're watching us. And I had to constantly be reminded when my children were in the home, and now my grandchildren come and visit with us, and I have to constantly be reminded that they're watching me. They want to see my sons, my grandsons, they want to see how they're supposed to treat a woman. How am I going to treat my wife? Well, let's see how Dad and Granddad treats Mom and Mimi is what they call them. See, that's important. It's important. And same for you ladies now. Your daughters are watching you. Daughters are watching their dads and granddads. Sons are watching their moms and grandmothers. Why? They want to find out how to go about this thing. We're teaching them by the example that we set for them. And so it's very, very important who you marry. And I want you to place a great emphasis on that in your life. This is not just something that you just say, well, you know, I'll fall in love today and someday, and I'll just get married, and if it works, it works. Don't you take that approach. That's not a good approach to take. You get on your face before heaven and you pray and you say, God, you send the person to me that you want me to spend the rest of my life with. Say amen with me now.
Amen.
This is important. And we need to be teaching our young generation this. And again, I'm just laying it out there. All right? This is what the Bible teaches. It's very important. Listen, the God that you choose to worship is the most important thing in life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's so important that God said, I tell you what, don't have any other gods before me. It's important. Number two, the person you choose to marry. Number three, the friends that you choose to have. All right? The friends that you choose to have. Now you see, you will become like the people that you spend your time with. You say, well, that sounds like just something that, an opinion you have. No, that's the Bible. I'm going to show you from the Bible where the Bible says if you hang around wise people, then you'll be wise. But now if you hang around fools, you'll be a fool.
Amen.
You hang around people that smoke, won't be long, you'll probably be smoking. You hang around that cussing crowd, won't be long, you'll be using profanity. Hang around that drinking crowd, won't be long, you'll be taking a little sip. You be careful who your friends are. You choose your friends wisely. Now, this is not just for the children. This is for everybody. This is for the adults. We're to choose our friends wisely. All right, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, those were the three things. Since then, I've added two to it. So we're going to extend it to the top five. Number five. Now, this is an opinion. I want you to know that. But I think that the Bible ranks these very high. I don't know of anything more important in life than the God you choose to worship. If you know of something, you come to me after the service and you say, preacher, I know of something more important than the God I choose to worship. See, it all hinges on whether you receive or reject Jesus Christ. You can't worship God until you can do that through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. No man can come to the Father now except through Jesus. So all of that hinges on the person of Jesus Christ, the person and the work of Christ. So who? The God that we choose to worship is very important. All right? So young folks, I want you to think about that. You get to choose. So you can make your God some movie star. You can make your God some sports athlete. You can make your God some singer, some man, something you can put in your pocket or on a shelf. But don't you do that. You're messing up. There's only one true and living God, and He deserves the worship of His creation.
Amen.
He deserves your worship and my worship. And the only way we can worship Him is through the forgiveness of sin and a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Most important decision you'll ever make in your life. I trust that you've made that decision. I really do. And I know many of you have. You profess that right here in our services from time to time during testimony time or during our personal conversation. I think that's a great thing. And then number two, the person that you choose to marry. Now many of you young, you've never been married. You've never been married. And that's out there in the future for you. Some of you, you sit here and you're married, and you're married to your the only person you've ever been married to, whether it be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 70, how many years, Dr. Thompson? 71 years. Amen. I think that's great. It's a testimony. It's a pillar. Now, whether you've been married to that one or whether you say, well, you know what? I messed up, preacher. Well, that's all right. Listen, you go on. There's nothing you can do about that now. That's done. You move on and you realize that God loves you. God, you're not second class. You don't have to sit in the back of the church because you messed up in that area of your life. Say amen with me now. Some folks say, well, you know, you're this and you're that. Well, there's some things that the Bible says you're disqualified from. Can't be a deacon in the church. Can't preach the gospel. Can't be a pastor. Amen. Can't do it. But that doesn't mean that you're a second-class Christian. Doesn't mean you can't be used of God to serve Jesus. That's right, brethren. Hey, these are important things here. This stuff's important. And then the third thing, the friends you choose. The fourth thing, the church you attend. It's very important. So where are we going to move? Where are you going to go to church at? Well, I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. You're messing up. Well, the money's good over there. You better check out if the worship's good over there. Money's good over in that area where we're going. How's the church over there where you're going? See, the church you attend is very important in life. So, say it. Come on, folks. Say amen now. We've quit. Listen, we've quit teaching our young people these things, and that's why a lot of our young people, and I don't mean here at fellowship, but it can happen. A lot of young people now is out of church. They've messed up. Their relationships are not right because they wasn't taught what I'm teaching you tonight, what I'm telling you that the Bible teaches us. It is important that we choose to worship the one true and living God. It is important that we wait and we pray and we let God show us who He wants us to spend our life with in holy matrimony. It is important that we choose our friends upon the parameters and the teachings of the Word of God. It's important. It's important the church we attend. Well, you know, as long as there's a steeple on the top of the building or a sign out front, preacher, as long as the name Baptist is on it, I'm all right. No, you're not. You make sure the church you attend, if you ever leave Fellowship Baptist Church or if you stay here and we start to kind of wobble on the axle, and we get a little off. You always make sure that the Word of God is preached when the man stands behind the pulpit. Bring your Bible, open it up, check what is said from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Make sure that it's straight. The church you attend, there ought to be opportunities for you to serve in that church. If there's no opportunities for you to serve, I would doubt very seriously that it's God sending you there. Because God gives people. This is Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, God gives people and He places us in a body of believers so that that body of believers can profit with all. He gives and He gives talents that the church can function in a way that everybody's going to be ministered to and everybody has an opportunity to minister. If you go to a place and there's one person, three people out of 50, 100, 200 people and they're the only ones doing anything, something's not right there. Something's not right. I believe that a man's gift will make room for it. The Bible teaches this. All right? God gives you a gift. He'll also open an opportunity and give you an outlet to use your gift for the Lord. So the church you attend. Then number five. This is something else I want to add. The place you work. It's very important. It really is. So, you know, these five things are just so important. So important in life. Really, our life kind of evolves around these things in so many ways. But I want to go back to that number three, the friends that you choose to have. All right? The friends that you choose to have. The first thing I want to answer for you is, how do you get a friend? Well, Proverbs. Heavenly wisdom for earthly problems. You say, I don't have any friends, preacher. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you showing yourself friendly? Are you showing yourself friendly to people? You say, well, you know, I come to church and I sit here and nobody comes and talks to me. Really? I watch people during our fellowship time and I notice that folks, some folks are standing in their place the whole time. Don't talk to nobody. Listen, I'm not spying on you, but I want to encourage you. Get out and meet people. Say, well, I'm kind of socially awkward. You're going to have to get over that now. That's right. You're going to have to meet some people and just go say hello to somebody. That's not hard. You say, well, it is for me, preacher. It may not be for you, but it is for me. Well, I'm going to tell you what will build character in your life. Doing the hard thing. That builds character in your life. To go against the hard thing. To get out of your comfort zone. Now, I've known people. They'll go to a church service. They'll stand in their place or sit in their place. And nobody will come to them. Then they'll get up and dart out. I mean, listen, the echo from the final amen won't even be resounded yet. And they'll be out in their car leaving. And they'll say, I tell you right now, I went down to that church. Those people are not friendly at all. I mean, nobody friendly down there. Didn't come to me. Who'd you go to? Look at it again now. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You got to get out. Show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly. Say, I don't know how to do that, preacher. How do I show myself friendly? Just go and introduce yourself to somebody. That's hard for me. Well, it's not easy for everyone, but listen, you can do it. Just introduce yourself. Ask them, what's your name? My name's Dale. What's your name? Bob. Hey, Bob. Good to have you today. I'm glad you're here. Bob, do you live in this area? No, I live in Timbuktu. Timbuktu. That sounds like an interesting place. Hey, man. What y'all got going on in Timbuktu, Bob? Right? Well, I'm not from around here, really. I live here, but I'm not from around here. I'm originally from South. Listen, you can just, what do you do for a living? Bob, are you interested in spiritual things? Well, I'm not too interested. That's why I'm at church. I want to find out a little bit more about it. Well, Bob, you're at the right place. The Bible's preached here. You're going to learn some things about the Bible. If you'll come consistently, then you'll learn some things about the Bible. And I hope you do. I seen that you had a woman with you, some children. Is that your family? Well, I live with this woman. And those are her children. One of them's mine together. Now, what are you going to do right there? Oh, Bob, you messed up, Bob. Oh, no. No, no, no. Well, just the other day, my preacher was preaching, if you're not with the one you started with, hey, hold it. Well, take out of context what your preacher said. Well, Bob, it's good. Can I meet your girlfriend? Can I meet her and the children? I'd like to meet them. I'm glad you brought them with you. Hey, listen. That's just show yourself friendly. Right? Reach out to people. It's amazing. Just a couple little words will lead to others. And if you just get stumped, just tell them, Bob, I'll be honest with you. I came over here because I wanted to meet you. I'm not a very talkative person, but I wanted to meet you. And I'm glad you came, so I just wanted to come over and say hello to you. Right? What's he going to do? That's going to make an impression. At least you didn't stay in your seat and just look back there at him like, hey, the Bible plainly teaches that that's how you get a friend. You be a friend. Right? Don't wait for it to come to you. You take it to them. So when that preacher, I told you, I feel a little uneasy about that. Well, I understand that. Some people, it doesn't come as easily. I want to show you. Turn, if you would, hold your place here. We'll come back to Proverbs. Turn to Romans just for a moment. In Romans chapter number 12. I'm just going to share a few scripture with you. The Bible says in Romans 12 that we ought to, and many places in the scripture, the Bible talks about showing brotherly love and kindness to people. Romans 12, look in verse number 10. In Romans chapter number 12, in verse number 10, the Bible says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now that means you are to be kind to people and affectionate toward people with brotherly love. Be friendly to people. Say hello. Don't just go walking by them like they're not even standing there. Right, if I ever do, listen, I promise you this. If I've ever done that to you, I didn't see you. You say, well, you was looking right at me. That doesn't mean I saw you. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? Okay? Sometimes I get more than one thing on my mind and I can look right past you. But that doesn't mean that I just wanted to show you. I'll walk right by you and won't speak to you. Mm-hmm. Now what are you going to do about that? Hey, listen, be friendly to people. It doesn't cost you any extra to be friendly to people. Look again at verse number 10, to be kindly affectionate, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We ought to each, Paul wrote over in the book of Philippians, we ought to each esteem others more than and higher than ourselves. So be friendly, all right? So how do I get a friend? I'm friendly to people. I'm courteous. I'm thankful. I'm appreciative. I reach out to people. I just say hello. You ever been to a place or tried to extend these courtesies to people and they just look at you like, what's wrong with you? Right? I mean, it's kind of getting to that place in life, isn't it? I mean, where people just act like you're crazy because you want to be friendly. I'm not crazy. Jesus is my friend. And he lives in my heart. And he wants me to be friendly with people. And I want to be friendly with people. Now, you may catch me in a mood in my life because I'm not perfect. That I may not be as friendly to you as I should be. And if you ever catch me that way, I want to ask forgiveness in advance. And that means there's something wrong with me because Jesus made a difference in my life. I used to be a very cantankerous person, mean-spirited. But when Jesus forgave me of my sin and washed me clean, he made me different. And I believe he done the same for you too. I just believe it. I realize some people are not as outgoing and you would, I'm going to tell you something that I wish there were some family members here to, because you're going to think, well, the preacher's exaggerating. I'm a very backward person. I was not an outgoing person as a young man. Didn't even like to be around people. All right? But Jesus done a work in my heart when he saved me. And I want to talk to people. I want to find out what's going on in their life. I want to know, how can I be a friend to you? Right? There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? What is it with this crowd that wants to walk around? They think it's cool not to be friendly. It's cool to be rude. That's not cool. That's dumb. It's cool to ignore people and, you know, turn your back on people and put people down. That's not cool, young people. That's not cool. It's rude. And God is not pleased. And it doesn't matter if it's coming from a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 20-year-old, or a 40-year-old. You ought to be kind, tender-hearted. Now what the Bible says? Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So how do you get a friend? How are you going to get a friend? Well, the Bible said in Proverbs, just show yourself friendly to people. Be friendly. You'd be amazed how people open up to you if you be friendly to them. They really will. Maybe it could be on a break at work. Might be a neighbor out in the yard when you're doing yard work or you're just walking by. I was thinking about this, and I'll get off of this and move on. I was thinking about this, and I want to be careful how I word this. I've been trying to walk some, all right, in the community. And Amanda, my walker, she's going to be leaving before long. She's going to be moving. And Sharon, you're going to have to step it up, honey. You or Gene won. Amen. I need a partner. Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, all right. So let me get off that because I want something to eat when I get home tonight. Amen. So I've been thinking about this. We're always in a hurry. Now, as I was thinking about the message this morning, God really smote me in my heart. We're just so busy, aren't we? Just busy. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of things that we do, it's busy doing menial things and not essential things. You know, when you think about it. We think some things are important. They're not important. They're really not. Not in the big scheme of things. So I thought, you know, sometimes you go on a walk. Well, I'm just focused. I'm going to get down there and I'm going to get back. Well, part of the reason is I can't hardly make it back. Amen, Amanda. But I want to get down there and get back. And I thought, yeah, I want to start leaving a little time. Because I want to let the Spirit of God speak to my heart. And if there's somebody standing out in the yard, or there's somebody that's walking, I want to stop them and be a friend to them. I want to be a good Samaritan to them. I want to find out what's going on in their life, and I want to let them know that I live in the community, I live in the neighborhood, and just see what I can strike up with them. I just believe with all of my heart that God uses those situations. Driving. Sometimes I'll time. I like to time things. And you know, I just believe, and God's working on me. Will I do it tomorrow? I don't know. I hope I will. I want to leave myself 5-10 extra minutes so that if I stop by Sheets, that I won't feel like I've got to get in there and get what I got to get and get out. I want to give myself about 5 minutes in there and let the Spirit of God work in my heart. He might say, you see that guy standing over there at the coffee machine? Go over there and be a friend to him. You see that cashier standing up there? Don't get in that short line. You get in that line right there. You get in her line. See, we get so busy that we allow the things and the tasks that we have to do to control us more than we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Now, that may not be what God's doing in your life, but I just believe that's something God's working in my heart about. I get so busy that I got to go, do this, be here, do that. And I just want to slow down a little bit and learn to say no to some things and yes to the Holy Spirit about what it is to be put in the pathway of other people's lives that I could be a friend to. You never know what people's going. Listen, you just never know what people's going through when God hooks you up with somebody at a convenience store. You could be pumping gas, and the person next to you pumping gas, God may tell you, right here's the time. Right here and right now. Speak to that person. How you doing today? They might look at you like, what's it to you? Right? That ought not shake you up. Walk over to them. Just wanted to find out how I was going today. You say, well, they might pull a gun on me, preacher. Well, they might. But they might break down and tell you as you begin to talk to them, it's amazing you come to me today. You never know. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? We talk about living by faith, brethren. Living by faith. It's a journey. And so I pray that God would help us when it comes to getting friends, meeting people. I think sometimes people think, well, what do you mean getting friends? I have 689 friends on my Facebook. Oh, come on. Come on. Get out there and make contact with people. Right? There's people hurting all around us, brethren. They're all around us. I'm going to move from this, but that's something God spoke to my heart about. You say, well, he's not speaking to me about it right now. Well, that's all right. I just thought I'd share that with you. Perhaps there's just one person in here. Might be a young man sitting over here, a young lady. That God has been speaking to your heart about changing the way you act at school. And quit trying to be a smart aleck or trying to hang around with the bullies and making fun of people. You know, God doesn't like that. God doesn't like it when you talk down on people and you make fun of people and you exclude people. God doesn't like that, young people. Listen to me. And if you're doing that, I'm going to tell you in the name of God, stop it. God doesn't like that. You be a friend to people. You be their friend. You're a Christian. At least you say you are. You're a Christian. Act like a Christian. Be nice. You say, well, one of my friends says we ought to be nasty to them, preacher. I'm going to tell you about that one just now, right here in a minute. All right? So the first thing, how do you get a friend? Well, if you want to get a friend, be a friend. All right? Number two, how do you choose a friend? Turn to Proverbs 12 just for a moment. Proverbs 12. How you choose a friend. Let's look at a few scriptures, and then I'm going to give you a few thoughts that I have on my heart, all right, about how to choose a friend. You in Proverbs 12, look at verse number 26. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Hey, listen. When it comes to how to choose a friend, you need to exercise a little caution, a little care, a little wisdom. Right? Yeah. Let me show you another scripture here. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, look down in verse number 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So you better be careful who you spend your time with. Is that what the Bible's teaching here?
Yeah.
It is. Look at it again, verse number 20 of Proverbs 13. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You be careful who you hang around with, who you spend your time with. You know why? Because the next part of that says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I looked that word fool up. There's three words that when the word fool is used in the Proverbs, it means this, okay? Hard-headed. It says a fool is hard-headed, which means this. He's a know-it-all. Never take advice. That's a fool. Never take advice. A know-it-all. Can't tell him nothing. That's what this proverb is saying. A companion of a person you can't tell anything because they know it all. Hard-headed. Number two, when it's used, it means empty-headed. They never think things through. They never think it through. They never consider there's a consequence attached to this action. They never think it through. They just act on impulse. And that's what this verse is teaching. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see, you spend your time with the wrong people, and you're going to die a premature death. It's important who you choose as your friends. All right? You say, well, we like smarting off at people. We like disrespecting authority. And we like making fun of people and pushing people around and being bad, preacher. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about that. It says that you are going to be destroyed. You're hanging around with the wrong crowd. You need to get away from them. Parents, know who your friends are. Right? Oh, Amnon had a friend. Yeah. His name was Jonadab. Read it over there in 2 Samuel 13. It's a real deal, friends. Listen to me now. It's real. It's not fake. It's not some movie. This is the Word of God. Where a young man, he couldn't find it in his heart to do the wrong thing, though he was being tempted. And one of his so-called friends came to him and said, hey, I'm going to tell you how you can get this done and how you can just have your way. And God judged his life for it. So now you be careful. Parents, you teach your children. You don't go around making fun of people. There's few things that agitate and irritate me more than seeing people make fun and make light of people. I don't think that ought to ever be named among a person who says they're a Christian. You quit pushing and bullying and making fun of people and realize if it were not for the grace of God, you wouldn't be what you are. You are what you are by the grace of God. Don't you take advantage of another individual. God is not pleased with that. He's not pleased with that. And so the Bible says here, you be careful when you choose your friends. Don't you choose no fool for your friend now. And then I want you to look at one other scripture. Look at Proverbs 14. Well, I said one other, but there's a couple more. Look at Proverbs 14. Look in Proverbs 14, verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. Look at verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin. They laugh at it. They laugh when they see you, you know, doing something that they know that your parents told you not to do. And you're deliberately not doing what mom and dad said to do, or you're doing what they said not to do. When you're sitting in church and you're passing notes and the preacher's up there preaching the Word of God and you're passing notes, you're smirking and laughing. I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me. Parents, you need to know who your children are sitting with, even in church. I think sometimes you need to get out of this sitting with the friend thing. Sit with your family. That's right. It's important. You see, y'all don't want your children to hear what's coming from this pulpit. Doesn't matter who's standing back here. Whether it's your pastor, a guest speaker, you want to make sure that your children, as well as you, that your attention is on what's coming from this pulpit when it's the Word of God being preached. And so the Bible says here that fools make a mock at sin. Hey, let's go over here and do this. Well, didn't the preacher say not to get in this building back here and get them balls out? Yeah, I know the preacher said that, but we're going to do it anyway. He won't find out. Preacher finds out a lot more than you think he finds out. Preacher's given just enough rope for you to do the wrong thing with. All right? You say, well, are you speaking of something in particular? Well, if I am, I'll let you know. But what I'm talking to you about right here is this. You be careful. You be careful who you spend your time with and who you choose to be your friends. And if they're disobedient and they make a mock at sin and they take sin lightly and they disrespect authority, you get away from them. That's not your friend. That's not your friend. And parents, if they don't have enough of what's in them to get away from them, you take them away from them. It's serious. Now, why is that, preacher? Turn to Proverbs 24. This is why. Some of you are going to be able to identify with this. I'm talking to you about how to choose a friend. Because I'm afraid we've got some folks who don't understand the importance of choosing friends. Even in the ranks of our adults. It's important. Now I want you to notice what the proverb said here. This wise man said this. Look in verse number 20, chapter 24 of Proverbs, verse 1. Be thou not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Don't you be a friend of an evil man. Oh, but he's funny. I don't care how funny he is. He's wicked. Stay away from him. He's cool, preacher. Care how cool he is. You don't need to be around him. See, God knows. God knows that there's something about the popular. See, a lot of times the popular, I'm not saying all the time now, but a lot of times the popular, whether it's an athlete or someone in school, you know, the popular, they like to break and bend all the rules and do it their way. And so people want to be, you know, they want to be friends with them, right? Remember those days? Mom, Dad, remember those days? I want to be with this crowd. Why? They're popular. Yeah, of course, they're bending and breaking all the rules, and they're doing everything that's godless and ungodly and wicked. But I want to be with them. Why? I want to be named among the popular. I'd rather be called godly than popular. And so we've got to get this down. You need to help your children make good decisions on the friends they choose. The time they spend with who they spend the time with. It's important. And we need to do the same. We need to do the same. All right? It's important. Now listen, I believe this. You say, preacher, that kind of turned quick. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to be friendly to everyone. But that doesn't mean I want everyone to be my friend. Did you get what I just said? I want to be friendly with everyone. Even people that are not doing things that are good and kind and godly and right. I'll still be friendly to them. All right? Until they give me a reason to get a little stern with them. You know. But now I'm not going to just be unfriendly to them just because they're not doing the way I want them to do. I'll still be friendly. But that doesn't mean I want them to be my friend. Now you have to understand that not everyone's intended to be your friend. That's right. But you can be friendly to them. Everybody with me now? So number one, how do you get a friend? Well, be friendly to people. Reach out to people. Try to get to know people. Number two, how do you choose them? Well, you choose them upon some good biblical teaching. See, a true friend will come to you and say, hey, listen, I don't know if that's a good decision. I mean, you're getting ready to open up that building out there and get in that. And I'm just 100% sure the preacher said not do that. Right? See, that's your friend. Not the person, go ahead and do it. It don't matter. He'll never know. That's not your friend. Listen to me now. That's not your friend. So, well, he seems like it. Doesn't matter what it seems like. He's not your friend. He has just deliberately told you to disobey a clear command. That's not your friend. Hey, let's talk during the test time in school. Well, the teacher said no talking during test time. But he's my friend. That's not your friend. Hey, let's sneak off over here and do some things and touch and feel and giggle and carry on. Though we've been told we ought not be touching one another. We're not married. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman to avoid fornication. But let's get over here kind of in the dark, in the shade. Let's kind of rub and touch a little bit. Doesn't matter. Nobody will find out. God's watching. See, that's not your friend. You watch people like that. They're leading you in the wrong direction. You listening to me? I said the wrong direction. We get this thing of friendship mixed up. We think because somebody's funny, they ought to be our friend. I'm not really concerned if they're funny. I'm concerned, do they want to do what's right? I'm concerned, do they know Jesus as their Savior? I'm concerned, me being their friend, is that going to bring me closer to God or farther from God? That's what you ought to be concerned with too. Right? Come on, folks, is that right? You say, well, preacher, it don't matter. My children can choose their own friends. What, are you kidding me? Are you serious with me? Now, you know that's not so. What else you let your children do? Do you let them choose who's going to come to church tonight? Well, no. Well, then don't let them choose their own friends. Amen. You help them. You help them in that choice. You help guide them. You give them some guidelines. And you watch who they're with and what they're doing. It's important. There's children being led astray every day in this country. Every day. I've told you before, and I'm going to say it again before I move on from this. If you don't know the passwords of your children's social media, if they even have it, and if you don't know some things about your children, you're messing up. I mean, like, big time. There's a lot of things that's unsafe. And it's, listen, brethren, you need to find out what's going on. It's changed since we were raising our children. It's changed a whole lot. There are predators out there. And you better know what's going on. This is real. It's real. And so I want to advise you, get involved in knowing who your children's with, who they're spending their time with, what media sites they're on. Know some things about what's going on in your children's life. Please, for God's sake and the sake of your family, don't take this lightly. Choosing friends is important. Do your friends know Jesus? Does knowing that person make you want to be closer or farther from God? Do they want to serve God with their life? Do they respect authority, the God-given authority that's in their life? If they do not, something's not right. Something's not right. All right? And so I want to encourage you to do that. And then finally, how do you get a friend? Well, be friendly. Reach out to people. Right? That's how you get one. Just be friendly. Reach out to people. So, well, I'm waiting on people to reach out to me. Well, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible says, you want friends? Show yourself friendly. Reach out to people. Number two, how should I choose them? Set up some criteria. I think it's good. If you're here today and you're unmarried, and you're getting up into your later, mid and later teen years, you ought to sit down and write down some biblical criteria that you could share with your parents on what you are looking for, what you will not accept if when it comes to a relationship. There's just some things that you ought to sit down and say, hey, here's some guidelines, and I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to settle. And you write down some good, godly traits and characteristics that you believe that God would have for the person that He wants you to spend the rest of your life with. It's important. So I'm going to do it on the fly, preacher. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. All right? How do you choose a friend? Wisely, carefully. Make sure that they love the Lord and want to do what's right. I like what Spurgeon said. You know who Spurgeon is. He's called the Prince of Preachers. He said, a man is known just as much by the company he shuns as he is by the company he keeps. Sometimes you just can't be friends with people. You can be friendly to them, but until there's some change and some things take place, you just can't spend time with them because of the influence that they bring into our lives. All right? Finally, we've looked at how do you get a friend. We've looked at how do you choose a friend. Now I'm going to close with this, and I won't spend just a couple of minutes here because I'm going to preach a whole message on this. How do you be a friend? How do you be a friend? You got anybody you're being a friend to? You say, well, I comment on a Facebook post every now and then. That's not, listen, I'm talking about, is there anybody that you're being a friend to? Is there someone that could call you and say, hey, listen, you're my friend? I need to talk. Are there some people that would consider you their friend? How do you be a friend? How do you do that? You got to care for people. You got to care genuinely. You have to care what's going on in their life. You have to be there for people. One of the things that I had to learn as a pastor, when I was a young pastor, I used to think, well, you know what, God called me to pastor, I got to fix things. Right? I think part of that was being a man, and the other part was being called to be a pastor. You know, you just feel like, we men feel like we have to fix things. It's broke, we have to fix it, right, men? Yeah. And so you meet people, and they're broken, and you feel like, well, I've got to fix them. But I found out, as I grew in the Lord, and as God taught me some lessons, I found out sometimes people don't want you to fix them. They just want you to listen to them. You listening? They just want you to listen to them and be a friend. Hey, listen, I didn't call you over here to fix me. I just need somebody to talk to. All right, I'm overwhelmed right now. And so sometimes it's not what we say, it's what we don't say that shows we're a friend. You just listen. Just listen. Hey, I'm here for you. You're my friend. And that's why I'm here. Come on, sit down. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's going on. Right? That's how you be a friend. Who are you being a friend to? Who are you being a friend to? Be a friend. Listen. Care. Spend some time with people. You won't be able to do it to everyone, but you'll be able to do it to some people. To help them out. All right? Jesus is a friend. Isn't he? He's a friend who really cares and understands. What a friend we have in Jesus. He listens, doesn't he? He listens. And then he speaks so tenderly. Lovingly. That's just what friends do. It's important the friends you have. Let's stand to our feet.